And so long term, I just want to reshape how women think about themselves in the leadership seat, their path to get there, how they think about leadership. And I want to continue to show people that you don't have to have followed the yellow brick road to get to where you are.
Hello and welcome to Revolutionary Woman. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. Brandi Thompson is the CEO and founder of Benefit Bay, a Kansas City-based health benefits technology company focused on modernizing how employers deliver coverage through ICHRAs. She is a mother of six and has built her company with an intentionally people-first approach, including hiring frontline team members with backgrounds in education and healthcare to deliver a more empathetic enrollment experience. Brandi's leadership story is rooted in values-based decision-making, building at a sustainable pace, and designing a workplace that supports real-life responsibilities, especially for working parents. Hi, Brandi. Welcome to Revolutionary Woman. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for stopping by. Okay, so you were born in the Midwest. What part of the Midwest, and what was it like for you growing up in your area?
Yeah, I grew up in Kansas City on the Kansas side, and I remained on the Kansas side. I'm a border warrior, and I remained on the Kansas side till 2015, and now I live over on the Missouri side in the Northland.
Oh, how cool. Yeah, I've been to both sides, and they're pretty. It's pretty cool going there. Always great, like during the summer when my husband and I get to like visit some friends. So, growing up, what lessons did you learn that impacted where you are now?
I think growing up for me, I grew up originally in Kansas City, Kansas, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom who then later cleaned houses, and my dad was working for the post office since the age of 18. Mm. I grew up a lot of hard work, Midwest work ethic growing up. Uh-huh. And myself, I really learned that, you know, family meant everything. We took little road trips and, you know, had the pop-up camper around and explore. Those are the types of things that I learned growing up and really got to evolve. Really got to evolve a little bit when I started taking care of kids or nannying for summer jobs and learning how other people lived.
Mm. Okay. You are the CEO of Benefit Bay. Can you tell me what Benefit Bay is about and what prompted you to be a part of it?
Yeah. Benefit Bay is bringing defined contribution to employer benefits. And we're really about giving choice to the employees with their employer benefit dollars, but also giving a set stable budget to the employer so that they don't have any gotchas or unknowns with claimants on self-insurance programs. And then we're supporting the broker. So we support the broker in a quick and easy tool that they can use to quote and provide that consultative value to their employer clients.
Okay, so are you talking about ICHRAs, right? So
yes, we're talking about ICHRAs. Yeah, the ICH and ICHRAs. Yeah, individual coverage health reimbursement arrangements.
Okay. I actually looked up your site and I love the vision of Benefit Bay, which is to revolutionize the benefits landscape, creating a future where every individual has access to tailored, affordable, and empowering benefits solutions. We envision a world where benefits are not just a perk, but a fundamental cornerstone of well-being and success for all. So currently in this country, there's so many insurance issues going on with people not being able to get the right sort of insurance or trying to figure out what works for them. How are you different from that? I know it's a technology platform, but how do you differ from other health insurance tech company?
Yeah, I think we really differentiate in the way that we deliver this service and the experience. Our platform combines automation and carrier integrations, but we really need that guided enrollment with real human support and a team that really cares about the end user. Mm-hmm. Not everyone needs help making a decision, but overwhelmingly, you know, 15% of these individuals going through that journey of getting to choose, they want to talk to somebody and they want that person who answers the phone or has that enrollment meeting with them to have experience, but also have a lot of empathy with them. So we've been hiring directly from the education system and the healthcare system. We hire a lot of nurses or clinicians that were in some type of clinical background, or retired educators, or educators that are just burnt out of education. That's how we differ.
That's really cool. Well, I mean, was that something that you've always wanted to do, like hire people that would actually benefit from what you're providing? Because honestly, I've never heard of a company that would hire like backgrounds in teaching and nursing. So that was something new to me.
Yeah, I mean, we really stumbled on it. I'd like to say it was something we really thought of, but we had a couple of nurses in a row work with us during heavy periods of time. And you know, they were friends of a friend of a friend and got referred to Benefit Bay. And then we had a couple of retired school teachers that you can retire from education after 25 years. You're fairly young at that point. You're not even 50.
Right.
And so you've got another career in you. Yeah. And that's where we stumbled on that skill set being a really great fit. And then we provide a training to help people get licensed in health and life insurance. And then we provide them with a bonus after that first 60 days of getting that license. So it's really turned into a winnable model for us.
Yeah. So when you became the CEO of Benefit Bay, what values were important to you that you wanted to extend to your team and ultimately your customers?
Yeah, I mean, my background is in finance and accounting. And one of my core values as an individual in that seat was always transparency. Bring transparency to the owners of the company, the executives of the company, the team members in the company. How are bonuses earned? How are roles compensated? How can you get to that next level role? What skill sets do you need? The other values that bring to the organization is really around diversity and having that humanity approach. We're all different. We purchase benefits different. Our families are made up different. We sit in different geographic locations. We come from different backgrounds and have a very diverse team that brings different career experiences together is going to get us the best outcome. A few other things is I believe in delivering what you sold, right? And so delivery is a core value here at Benefit Bay. I don't want to put my name behind something that is not going to have a great experience for the end user. Maybe our buyer's a broker, maybe our buyer's an employer, but that employee is who experiences us and they want them to have a good experience. Humanity and humility are two of the others. And being a software company, it has to be adaptability. You're constantly evolving your software. Technology is changing at the speed of light. And so you have to be adaptable to those changes and make sure that you're continuing to evolve so that you don't get passed behind.
Okay, thank you. So, prior to being CEO of Benefit Bay, what was your background and how did you come upon being a part of Benefit Bay? And what was your aha moment saying, I really think I could make this work?
I think there wasn't a giant moment, but what happened was over a period of time, benefits just continued to be either something that really caused a lot of friction inside of an organization, their delivery, their cost, the employees' ability to control their cost when rates were going up each year. We kept, increasing deductibles on families or moving from one carrier to another. So just experiencing that over and over and understanding what this has to be able to be done better, right? So it wasn't a loud or dramatic moment. It was that it just kept repeatedly coming over with these overwhelmed buyers of their benefits or overwhelmed HR directors trying to solve the problem, or sitting in that CFO seat, seeing that we don't have enough dollars to make this work. And we're either going to have to reduce the employee benefits outcome, or we're going to have to reduce the team counts. And, and those were problems that just felt like they needed to be solved. So it was just over a period of time, it just really clicked that there has to be a difference. But also the legislation passed, right? So the legislation passed allowing for defined contribution or individual coverage health reimbursement arrangements in 2019. So it took a legislative change to really allow us to move into this intention of allowing individuals to choose with their employer benefits dollars and getting the employers out of making that decision for them. That's when it really clicked, is that is that there was the legislation, there was a market demand for people that just became so frustrated mm-hmm. with how it's currently handled.
Right.
And then there became an opportunity where those all collide.
Oh, okay. So you are a mom of six children and a working mom.
Yeah.
So how much of your experience has, as a mom, influenced the way you are as a leader and how you run your business?
Yeah, I think that being a mom, one, I was a consumer of benefits, right? Mm-hmm. I've been pregnant at my job. I've changed jobs with children. Mm-hmm. I've changed jobs during a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And all of those things give me empathy for what the buyer feels and experiences mm-hmm. when they're having those transitions in their life. But right. being a mom has helped me understand in running Benefit Bay of what kind of organization do humans need to work for to be able to integrate both work and family, but also how can you build a program and a platform and a delivery model that services all the various parties and what they may or may not be going through. Mm-hmm. I've had six children. Mm-hmm. Those children have been raised in all different generations. We've mm-hmm. been in three decades for a 32-year-old down to a 12-year-old.
Wow.
We've experienced the technology child rearing. We've experienced the ride a bike outside and we don't have phones tied mm-hmm. to our hips mm-hmm. Process. I've experienced single parenthood. I've been married, right? So I've been through all of those journeys. And I think that having those adversities mm-hmm. allow you to show up with more empathy and grace towards those you serve and those on your team.
I love that. So you have older children from what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
What do they think about their mom who runs a business that's helping people?
Yeah, I think they're proud.
okay.
My kids overwhelmingly are in the healthcare field. My oldest is an obstetric and gynecologic physician here in the Oakland Park area. And so she experiences the healthcare system from the other side as a physician who took on a large portion of debt to go through medical school.
Yeah.
And my next oldest is a nurse. And so she's working down at our Kansas City St. Luke's health system overnight mm-hmm. as a labor and delivery charge nurse. And she sees the pressures on the hospital system and the pressures on the physicians and the pressures on the nurses, but also the moms, right? Mm-hmm. The moms are laboring. They may be going through stress. So I think that being a mom of those six girls and those six girls getting to see me overcome a divorce, overcome different career setbacks, getting to the place where I have the confidence to lead a team and to take the risk and to be the CEO of this company, I think it's really motivating for them. But I hope also as they start to become moms, that it shows them that they can do this, that being a mother forces you to prioritize, you know, that clarity, the empathy and the decisiveness that no professional experience could have ever prepared you for. There's not a book that there's what to expect when you're expecting, but there's not a book that can really teach you how to juggle all of these things and to be rooted in the constant grounding that's needed to build and influence teams and make decisions and lead with both accountability and care, right? Mm-hmm. Fair but firm. When you're parenting, mm-hmm. you have to be fair but firm or the kids will run the family and similar on a team, right? So I just think that being able to demonstrate the ability to push through hard things is something that I'm proud of as a mom, and I hope that they're proud of me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what you're describing is really incredible, you know, and having six girls who know what their mom has gone through and can actually see it as experience, right? I mean, they've gone through it with you, and they're seeing how their mom has thrived in everything, you know, has thrived past any obstacles. What if you're looking back, I mean, can you imagine that you would be heading a team that involves people from the ground up, like, you know, like teachers and nurses? And I mean, how is that something that you had hoped that it would happen eventually, or that you've already like decided, well, or that you thought, you know, this is what I want to work through. I want to work towards it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I didn't vision myself in a CEO seat. I was always very motivated to provide for my family and to do the best so that my girls could get to college and, you know, have a great life for themselves. I aspired to that CFO seat, the VP of finance seat. That was really something in my career. I felt when you get to that seat, you've made it. Mm-hmm. But what I found was I got to that CFO seat and I was restless in a way that you were number two, but you really couldn't impact the decisions that were made for the organization when mm-hmm. it came to the human capital. Mm-hmm. And I actually hit a career stall point for myself and said, I am not happy in this seat any longer. And I actually want to step back. In my right before Benefit Bay, I had actually taken a step back to a non-leadership seat role. I was a senior human resource business partner for Limelight Health. And it was in that role of working for an organization that was really great to their humans and being a part of a software company. So software companies have to evolve really quickly and adapt, and they have lots of different types of humans inside the organization, and they're seated all over and they're remote working. And this was my first time in a remote job. And I had to relearn how to create influence and change inside an organization without a title that comes natural or without accountability of the humans. Huh. And so that role really prepared me for Benefit Bay. It prepared me for how do you do these things when I need to navigate a carrier that I don't have a relationship with?
Right.
I don't have any power. Huh. How do I have this conversation? How do I influence change? It really prepared me for being a part of an industry that's done things the same way for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
It gave me the patience to not have all the answers all the time, because finance had become so routine for me and it was easy for me to be successful there. Mm-hmm. And stretching myself over into a human resource business partner seat without that executive title really helped me polish those soft skills that were needed to be in this role. Mm. But I like to say, I think the reason why I'm a great CEO is because I'm not a CEO for the ego. Mm. I am a CEO because the organization needed me to be the CEO. I'm a CEO because that's the right place for me in this opportunity. I think that if I would have had to do it at any other stage in my life, I don't think I'd be as good at it. Mm-hmm. I needed to learn a lot of those various lessons through the years. Mm-hmm. And that's what's helped me come into this role. But if you could have talked to me 10 years before this, I would have said, no way. I was in the midst of a divorce. I was running kids everywhere. I was trying to just make the 8 to 5 in Kansas City work. Mm. I was working for a company in an industry I wasn't wildly crazy about. Mm. They weren't treating their humans great. I would not have pictured myself as a risk taker at the CEO seat. And I wouldn't have pictured myself where I am. And life's just funny like that, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Our paths are squiggly and all around and backwards and back up. And then you land here. They're not always a straight line to the success point.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, something everyone should understand. Just because where you are does not mean where you're going to be. Just keep learning every single day. And all of those skills are going to be applied somewhere in the future.
Yeah, I second that, you know, because for me, it's taken me a long time to get to where I am. And I would never say that that I wish I didn't have that experience prior, because it wouldn't have landed me where I am now, you know. And and I agree with what you said. So I think that's wonderful. So that's really cool. Thank you. So who would you credit for where you are now?
Wow. I credit the people who believed in me for this opportunity, who pushed me over the edge into this risk pool that, you know, maybe pushed me over the side into the deep end. And for me, that was Arvind Rohan. He was a LinkedIn executive who moved on to be the founder of Cricket Health. And He was on the board of directors here. It is also Mike Gamson, who is an investor here, who has provided great guidance. I would say through the years, leaders who invested in me, other female colleagues who challenged me to step out of my comfort zone. And I just think those that gave you the example, I mean, my first example of why I even went to college as a first generation college graduate was someone I nannied for. And I was like 17 years old, right? And I think we all need some, we all need to be touched by someone in our life who does something different than maybe our core family unit has, or to give us hope that we can be something beyond what we can believe in. I can remember having the conversation with Arvind about this opportunity and trying to talk him out of me as the CEO of this company. I gave him every reason why I wasn't the right person for the job. And I think sometimes we need someone on the other end of that call to say, I've been incredibly impressed by you and you can do this. Well, and we believe you can, right?
I mean, I just, I'm sorry, but I had to ask, I mean, were you, did you experience an imposter syndrome?
I did. I didn't graduate from a top five business school. I went to, back for my MBA at 37. I had a baby at 17. I went to college through JCCC, which is a junior college here. And then I went to an Emporia State University 2+2 program. I didn't have the greatest grades. So when I wanted to go to grad school, I had to go repeat a few of those accounting courses. I got A's, the, you know, in my 30s. But to get into grad school, I had to take some courses again. I mean, I just don't have the same path that the average person with the pedigree or the Rolodex would have to start a VC backed company, right? And I hadn't done sales. And I think some of those things we put on ourselves, right? Those are weights we put on ourselves. Those are not things. I mean, are there probably things that people judge people by? Sure, that still happens. But once you're executing and you're delivering every day, those things really, I've never had anyone ask me where I went to school in any one of my customers. Not one of my customers have asked me where I've gone to school. But I think, you know, the investor community does ask, you know, or talks about their background and how they came into the investment. And it always hits their business, schooling or education. So I think that's just something I came to based on being in the rooms, right?
That's interesting. I mean, I had to ask that question because so many of us, especially women, experience that because we, I mean, at least for me, I never, you know, until I saw it for myself that I was able to do what I love doing and not have to diminish, you know, like what I've experienced, all my experiences prior, you know, so it's but it's unfortunate because it's a lot of societal, and a lot of it is what you've, I guess, maybe cultural, I'm not sure, or could be. But it's also like, you know, it's like the, like you said, you know, when you're in a room and you're surrounded by people who have gone through the, you know, traditional schooling and all of that, and you're like, well, I might not have done that, but I've had a lot of experience, so, you know. It's hard sometimes to like realize that, you know what, those experiences actually enrich you to be the kind of leader that you are, that you're supposed to be. But I love that. I love that answer. So what's next for Brandy?
My personal goals are just really connected to aligning with what feels authentic to myself. I want to continue leading Benefit Bay in a way that adds value to our customers and the payers in the market. I think that we can improve healthcare. I think people think it's too far gone to improve, but I believe in the power of hope and consistent action every day that we're going to improve this. I think also, you know, what's next for me is that on a personal level, I will always want to be present for my family. And I want to continue with a values-driven leadership that displays that inside the company, but also at home. I think showing that ambition, but also that you can coexist with a career balance and a family. Mm-hmm. And that impact is just as important as growth and financial wealth. Mm-hmm. And so long term, I just want to reshape how women think about themselves in the leadership seat, their path to get there, how they think about leadership. And I want to continue to show people that you don't have to have followed the yellow brick road to get to where you are, and that you can still build something meaningful and live a full and grounded life, and continuing to give access to the community to areas that they may not have had access. One of the wonderful things that ICHRA does is unlock some of those healthcare options to families that maybe were in an affordable healthcare. So they were in a high deductible healthcare plan with a $6,500 deductible, and they were paying a significant amount out of pocket. They were basically, in effect, uninsured. They don't have salaries to defer. Mm-hmm. And they just want to take their kids to the urgent care when they need it, or they want to take their kids to the doctor, and they don't have $165.
Yeah.
So I think just a future centered around access for those that don't realize that they're lacking it, giving people dignity and long-term stability in their families, that's what's important to me. And I hope that Benefit Bay can play a small part of that in improving the healthcare outcomes.
I love that, especially talking about having to pay co-pays and you don't have that money, or you know, maybe you do, but you want to save it for something else. And how do you choose? You know, it's like, and
if you're deciding between groceries and shots, exactly. That's not appropriate, Your children need access. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So thank you for that. I had to smile when you were talking about it, because I'm like, so many of us, you know, are definitely affected, especially if, you know, you think that, okay, well, what if my spouse or my significant other like loses their job, you know, it's like, where do I go? How do I cope from that? You know? And so what happens after that? So, and especially with us women, you know, we're the ones who, I mean, for me, I was the one who was taking my daughter a lot to doctor's visits and then hoping that, okay, well, you know, is this covered? Do we know if it's covered? Yeah. You know, it's like, and it's so important. So thank you for like, you know, making sure that there is access to that, you know, to the services that are needed, especially by families.
Absolutely. I think those making the decision are traditionally our high income earners. Mm-hmm. And I think they mean well, they just may have become detached from what the overall day-to-day experience is for the 80% of American families. They're barely covering the groceries when inflation is up,
right?
And the car breaks down and they're choosing not to take the child to the dentist or, you know, to the physician for their well checkup because they have to pay.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so Brandy, if anyone wanted to know more about you and Benefit Bay, how would they go about it?
Yeah, so they would go to benefitbay.com. We have sales intake form there that they could learn more from one of our sales team members. It's free to get an ICHRA quote for an employer, so an employer could take a look. We are a broker-first technology platform, so we do not work direct to employer. We will help them understand and refer them to a broker, but we work with a broker at the table. And then if they want to just connect with me, it's brandy.thompson@benefitbay.com, or they can connect with me on LinkedIn. I am always looking to connect with other lady leaders who are hoping to create a positive impact out here in the community, or, you know, to improve an industry.
Wonderful. Is there anything you would like to say to my listeners?
I just want to say you can do it. It's cliche, but give yourself grace if you're in a period that feels heavy. For you and your family, you never know what's on the other side of that. And I'd also like to say that ladies in general, we hold ourselves back from opportunities if we don't have 10 of the 10 responsibilities or experiences that are listed on a job description.
Yeah.
The average male will apply if they have 30%. So get out there, apply, give yourself an opportunity to lean into some of those skills that you've maybe learned not on the resume, because we have a lot to offer in the workforce and we should bring those skill sets to the table. Mm-hmm. And we should also negotiate on behalf of ourselves so that we have fair and equitable compensation.
I love that. Okay. If you had one thing to change that you wish you had done years ago, would there be one?
You know, my younger self probably would have said this, but I wouldn't now, because every journey that I've taken has led me to where I am. And divorce, career hiccups, anything that I did that experienced a setback, some of those periods of setback are what led me to who I am today. So I wouldn't, I wouldn't change anything, because then you never know what path that would have taken you to, and you wouldn't have learned the lessons you learned there.
Great. And my last question is, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
Wow. I would tell her, I would tell her you don't have to do everything alone, and you don't have to have all the answers to keep moving forward. I would tell her to ask for help sooner. I would tell her to trust her judgment and her gut earlier, and don't listen to outside voices. I would tell her to stop playing small, and that the moments that I feel most uncomfortable are the ones that I need. And I would tell her, if something feels aligned but scary, that's the sign you're in the right direction.
I love that. Brandy, thank you so much for sharing your life and your work with me at Benefit Bay. And thank you for creating the space and the platform for people to be able to have access and for questions or any services that they might need in healthcare. So in health services. But I really appreciate it, because when I came upon your site, it was like, wow, this is something different. Especially because you have a team where it came from people like me, you know, and it makes so much of a difference, because so much of what's out there, you know, it's just a company and you don't know like who you're talking to. You don't know if they can relate to what you're going through. So I appreciate the vision that you have with Benefit Bay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And yeah, I so appreciate it. And good luck with your future endeavors. I wish you so much luck. And with that, have a great day, and I'll talk with you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye. That's our show for today. I've posted more information about Brandy Thompson on revwoman.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in every other Thursday for another episode of Revolutionary Woman. You can listen to Revolutionary Woman on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Just a little note, I've launched a Patreon account to support the show. All proceeds will go to producing and editing the episodes to give my poor husband a break from being my personal IT and production department. He wrote this. The address is patreon.com/revwoman.